Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It's a great pleasure to say we're joined by a fascinating investigative reporter and activist and human rights leader, really. A man at one point recognized for his contributions in that latter category with a nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize. He is Kenneth Timmerman. Among other incarnations, he is the president and CEO of the Foundation for Democracy in Iran. And we'll be talking about some of his good works underway at the moment, in fact, in the European Parliament, where we have caught up with him. But before I turn to that, let me just mention some of his other accomplishments. He is the author of numerous best-selling works of both fiction and nonfiction, including a couple that are directly relevant to the work at hand. Shadow Warriors, Traitors, Saboteurs, and the Party of Surrender being one of them. Another, Countdown to Crisis, the coming nuclear showdown with Iran. He has contributed mightily to the public policy debate through his investigative reporting and commentaries elsewhere. And it's always good to have him with us for that purpose as well. Ken, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. I know you were testifying earlier today in the European Parliament. Tell us what you were talking about.
Well, we're talking about the Iran protests. We have a group of Iranian leaders and Iranian activists from a variety of ethnic organizations, ethnic groups in Iran, Kurds, Baluchis, Azeris, Abazis, and others. And I was there essentially to deliver a message to the European Parliament that the protests we're seeing today in Iran are very different from the ones we saw in 2009. These protests have given up on reform. There is no reform in this regime. They're asking for freedom. They're calling for the death of the dictator. And they're happening all over Iran, including the minorities. And while we were delivering this message here to the European Parliament, the European foreign ministers, ironically, on the other side of the building, were meeting with the Iranian foreign minister to figure out how they could save the Islamic regime in Iran.
Yeah, yet again. And this is really a fascinating backdrop for the topics that we wanted to talk to you about, Ken Timmerman, because the protests in Iran have seemingly moved off the front pages of the press here. Are they still underway? Are they taking place with the kind of depth that give them some legs? Or is the crackdown on the protesters having the usual effect of essentially snuffing what the people of Iran, certainly a very substantial number of them, want in terms of change, relief from this despotic Sharia supremacist regime?
I can tell you, Frank, that the crackdown has been a failure, and the protests are ongoing all across Iran. Today, something like 50 different locations, there were protests. These are rolling protests. They're not the millions of people in the streets that we saw in 2009, but remember what they were asking for in 2009. They thought their protests were approved by the regime. They were just asking for their vote. People in the streets today aren't asking for that. They say, we don't care about your vote. We don't want this candy that you are giving us. We don't want the green candy or the black candy or the red candy. We want freedom. And that is a very, very different thing. The protests have turned the corner. They are long lasting. I believe, and I said this today, I believe this is what revolution looks like.
Well, now, Ken, at the same time that that's taking place, you have not only the Europeans negotiating with the Iranian kleptocracy to try to keep them in business. You have the president of the United States facing an imminent decision, could happen at any time, about whether to continue to waive sanctions on this regime in the hope, I think he's being told, that somehow this will result in a willingness on the part of the Europeans, or for that matter, the Russians and Chinese, or for that matter, the Iranians to, quote, fix, unquote, the Obama bomb deal, its various defects. From your vantage point, Ken, with the Foundation for Democracy in Iran and with your long experience with both the people of Iran and with this regime, what are the prospects that if the president of the United States actually does that, waives the sanctions, effectively continuing life support for the Iranian government, that he will be doing basically what Barack Obama did before him, which is to align with the regime that is oppressing the people of Iran rather than with the people, and almost certainly make inevitable the achievement of that regime's nuclear ambitions and threats to us.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And President Trump has been very clear in all of his tweets and his statements so far. He's been telling the people of Iran, we are with you. And if he wants to put that statement into practice, the nuclear deal is insignificant in the long run because this regime is doomed to die. There's no saving the deal. It's a terrible deal. All it does is give goodies to the regime. The president should not certify the deal. He should look at new sanctions to impose on Iran. And I think the sanctions should really look at human rights abuses. They should, for example, you have today a former justice minister, Shahroudi, who's in Germany to get medical treatment. This is a man who was murdered, handed down death sentences to over 2,000 people, and the Germans have allowed him in on a diplomatic passport, whereas some people would like to bring him to the European Court of Justice. We should prohibit people from that, like that, from traveling. If he wants to get medical treatment, let him go to North Korea.
Well, you know, this, it's ironic, of course. You'll remember that it was the case of the United States offering medical treatment to the Shah of Iran that helped usher in this revolution that decades ago now brought to power this incredibly repressive regime, one that makes the Shah, I think, seem relatively benign by comparison. And I guess the question to you, Ken, is there seems to be within the president's circle, clearly people who want him to stay in the deal, who claim, as I say, they can fix it. They're working, we're told, with Senators Bob Corker, for whom the president, last time I checked, had pretty low regard, though he had him on Air Force One, I guess, recently, perhaps for this purpose, but also Ben Cardin, the respectively chairman and ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The idea, I gather, is to try to fashion some new Corker-Cardin legislation that would facilitate this effort to fix the deal. Your thoughts on all of that, Ken?
Well, the president won the election in 2016 as a truth teller. He needs to continue telling the truth about the Iran deal, the worst deal ever negotiated by a U.S. president. And he needs to be very forthright about it. The Europeans support the deal because they support the regime. The Europeans think the protests in Iran today are about reform. They're not. President Trump needs to tell it like it is. He needs to stand up for the freedom of the people of Iran, which, by the way, is in our interest because a free democratic regime in Iran will not be pursuing nuclear weapons. It won't be sending the Quds Force around to its neighbors or delivering missiles to Yemen. They'll be building bridges and hospitals and schools and factories inside Iran.
Yeah. Now, Ken, you are, as we speak, in the company of some of those who are in the opposition to this Iranian regime. I know there are minorities, ethnic and otherwise, that make up this opposition. Can you just give us a sense from your interactions with them as to whether they have what it takes ultimately to bring about an alternative government along the policy lines that you just described, among other things?
Well, I think they do, Frank. They have a great deal of experience on the ground. They have political experience. They have guerrilla fighting experience in some cases, and they are learning the weapons of nonviolent protest. And one of my messages to them is that nonviolence is not for sissies. Nonviolence is carried out by an army of citizen soldiers. And you have the citizen sergeants, you have the platoon commanders, you have the lieutenants, and then you have a commander in chief somewhere. I believe there is actually a commander in chief behind these protests. I've heard from my sources there are cells in 130 cities around Iran that are organizing the protests. That's why this movement is not going away. And they have the people that I've been talking to that are here in Brussels. They want to see a free, democratic, secular Iran founded on some of the principles familiar to Americans, inalienable individual rights and limited government.
From your lips to God's ears, as they say, Kenneth Timmerman, I thank you so much for joining us and for what you are doing literally on the front lines of this fight now in the European Union and, of course, on this side of the pond as well. Keep it up, my friend, and give our best to those who are working with you to try to bring about this sort of fundamental transformation, shall we say, of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Lawrence Peck joins us next. We'll get the latest on North Korea's charm offensive and influence operations over there and here, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.